All right, man, I am excited to be back at Summit. And how many of you remember me being here before? Wave at me, all right? A couple of you do. And you still came today. You didn't know I was preaching, that's why. All right. As Pastor Chris said, he mentioned getting into trouble at youth camp. And I'll give you just one guess as to which one of us would be the most responsible for causing the trouble and who was the bad influence and who was trying to be the good influence. And that still continues to this day. Amen. No, I'm just playing. I'm so excited to be here. And Jamie and I, my wife's here with me. And we so love your pastors. And we are dear, dear friends. I've been, as Pastor Chris said, for decades. And so we love to come to get to spend time with them anytime we would usually try to get together, you know, sometime in a year. And then when I get to be here at Summit Church, it's just extra special. So thanks for being here. Thanks for having me. Anybody ready for the word today? I got a word from the Lord today. If you got a copy of God's word, go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. When we hang out with your pastors, one of the things that we like to do is sometimes we'll maybe go see a movie together, you know. And going to the movies with your pastor is a unique experience. Now, nowadays you can pick your seat, so that helps a lot. Back in the old days, it was just first come, first serve, and he's very particular about where he sits in a movie theater. And so that meant you had to get there really before the crowd, before the showing, before was letting out. You still had to be there, and then as soon as it was empty, we were always had to be the first ones in the theater. And what that meant is we always watched all of the previews, all right? And so watching all the previews, you know how everybody has the same reaction. I'll look around the room after the preview. So the preview, the trailer plays of the movie, and when the trailer gets over, I watch everybody in the theater. Almost everybody does the exact same thing. Everybody does this. I want to see that. I want to watch that. I want to see that. I want to take that sentence and that thought of what you want to see. And I just want to kind of lay that on the foundation of these next few minutes we have together. I want you to think about what you want to see from God. I think too often we just come to church and we're just kind of checking off some sort of spiritual box. We're not thinking about what if God actually did something in my life? What if today like changed everything? What if me being in the presence of God today like change the trajectory of my life? Do you realize we serve a God that's capable of that? I'll go a step further. We serve a God that actually does that all the time. And so I don't want to be the reason why God's not doing something incredible in my life. So I want to lay that as a foundation. What do you want to see? And as we've been talking about in this series, just kind of doing the right thing, I think one of the most important things we could ever do is being ready, knowing what we want to see from God and doing what we need to do in order to see what we want to see from God. So all right, Luke chapter 18, if you got a copy of God's word, Luke 18, and let me read verses 35 through 43. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, oh, that's Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked this blind man and told him to be quiet. And he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. There it is. He replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Let me pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray fresh anointing on this word. Help me not to just talk about you today, but to talk for you. And so, Lord, let there just be maybe a prophetic anointing on what I say, that you are speaking directly to us. And I pray, God, that as a result of what you do in us, maybe some other people in our life will notice that you are real. And they will begin to follow you and serve you and praise you because of what they have seen you do in our lives. And Lord, I just pray you'd give us clarity into your word today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, to see what you want to see. If you're taking some notes, jot this down. To see what you want to see, I think, first of all, we've got to learn what to listen for. Like, learn what to listen for. We live in a very crowded space. I mean, there's plenty of things, plenty of commotion in our life, plenty of things to keep us busy. I like in verse 36, I read it a moment ago, but it said, when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So I'm just picturing this blind man by his spot begging. No doubt he's probably been there many, many days. And many, many times there are people around. Many, many times there's commotion. But I'd like that there's something special about this commotion. I like that in the midst of this stuff that's going on, he decides to go, yeah, but what's going on over here? Like, what's different about this? I know there's people around here all the time. I know that there's people walking by all the time. But what is special about this? I just like that this man was not lost in activity. Like, we can get so lost in activity that we stop listening for opportunity. And so I just like that he was dialed in, realizing, okay, I need to learn what to listen for. Watch out what I'm watching for, and come expecting sometimes, right? I heard this fable. It's one of my favorite fables that I've ever read, and here's how it goes. There's the Library of Alexandria burns down, and there's only one book that remains from this Library of Alexandria. And so some guy ends up finding it, and somebody sells them this book. They think it's worthless. They sell them for just a couple copper coins, and he takes it, and he starts to leaf through this book, the only book that survived this fire. As he's doing so, he finds in between this vellum paper, this page, he picks it up, and he reads The Legend of the Touchstone. And as he starts to read The Legend of this Touchstone, the legend goes like this, that there is a stone on the seashore that when you touch that stone to any metal, it will turn that metal into gold. And I mean, this captures his heart. And so he decides, I'm going for this. And so he sells what little he has, and he moves to the shore where this is supposed to be at, and he sets up a small camp, and he starts to try to find that touchstone. The legend went like this, that how you know which stone will be the touchstone is that when you pick up the touchstone, it will be hot to the touch. Where most stones, you pick them up on the seashore, it's going to be cold to the touch. This one's going to be hot to the touch. That's how you'll know you have found it. Any metal that stone touches will turn that metal to gold. So he moves there. He starts the first day picking up stones. It's cold, puts it down, picks up stone, cold, puts it down. He gets about halfway through that first day, and he realizes, oh, this isn't going to work, because how am I going to know which stones I've already checked and which ones I haven't? So he comes up with a new plan, and he decides, okay, he picks up a stone. If it's cold in his hand, he throws it out as far as he can. Picks up a stone. If it's cold in his hand, he throws it out as far as he can. He does this for days. He does this for weeks. He's about a month and a half into this. And one afternoon, there he is on the seashore, picking up a stone, cold to his hand, throws it out into the ocean, picks up a stone, cold to his hand, throws it out in the ocean. And this day, this afternoon, as he's in his thing, he picks up a stone, and it is hot in his hand. But before he can realize what he's doing, he throws it out in the ocean. What happened to that man is he got so caught up in his routine that he missed his opportunity. How many opportunities have we missed from God because we got caught up in the routine? How many church services, and it's on me, Jesus, but how many church services have I wasted because I've just shown up just expecting to go through the routine? I'm just here to clock in on some spiritual time clock in heaven. How many opportunities have we missed? How many prayer times have we missed because we've gone in not expecting God to speak to us, not expecting God to do something radical, not expecting God to answer our prayers even? How many moments have we wasted because we've got caught in the mundane? I just want to challenge you today. God is a God that every day his mercies are new. And so let's start to learn what to watch for. Let's start to expect God to move in our life in fresh and new ways. And let's not get caught in the mundane. That's how we'll see what we want to see in our life. Second thing would be this. Get comfortable calling out to God. I like that this blind man, when he goes, what's going on over there? They're like, oh, that's Jesus of Nazareth. He goes, all right then. And he just immediately starts to call out. He calls out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. All right, hear this, church. Every miracle in the Bible started with a problem. I know we get mad at God sometimes for the problems we have. And I know nobody goes into a new week going, God just sent a lot of problems my way. Like, just mess me up in a bad way this week. But the fact is, every miracle in the Bible starts with a problem. And the problem with our problems is when we don't want to be the one with the problem. See, we've kind of trained ourselves to not be that guy. We've trained ourselves not to be that person, like, who's going to always have the problem and always have the issue. And so what do? When we have real things going on, when we're really not okay, we put on a front, we put on a smile, we come up into church and we go, no, everything is fine. And we would never admit that we have problems. Well, that's a problem. If I never admit that this is the place that it's okay to not be okay. And so I think we have to get comfortable with this idea of calling out to him when we need something from him. Calling out to him when the problems start to surface, when the diagnosis comes and it scares us to death. Man, let's get some people around us who are praying and believing with us. When our son or daughter is acting out and kind of going a direction we're a little bit, then let's get some people in our life. Let's get some people we can talk to and get in a group of people that can encourage us in the right direction. We've trained ourselves not to do that. Be comfortable with calling out. Be comfortable with that. Like, what if that was kind of okay to be your native language? For some reason, that kind of prayer and that kind of calling out becomes like a foreign language to us. I got Spanish speakers all over my church, and I've been there for almost 30 years. And so people ask me a lot of times, do you speak Spanish? I said, no, I don't speak Spanish. They said, man, with all those Spanish speakers, I can't believe you don't speak Spanish. And my answer is, it's because of all those Spanish speakers that I don't speak Spanish. Because if I were to try to speak Spanish, they're going to be laughing at me when I say the wrong word and I accidentally say a cuss word and I'm trying to say bathroom. Right? Like, I don't know how it's going to go down, but I'm not needing that. And so I'm afraid to put myself out there in front of all them. That's what we do. And we have very real needs, but we've trained ourselves not to put ourselves out there. What if you calling out to Christ was your native tongue and you were comfortable with that? Calling out to Jesus for help. To see what we need to see and want to see in our life, I would say this. The third thing on there, meet difficulty with determination. Meet difficulty. So it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be perfect. I think sometimes some ministers of the gospel accidentally, they want so bad for people to follow Jesus, they'll sometimes imply that when you follow Jesus, it's just going to be nothing but blue skies and rainbows and butterflies and smiles. Like, that's all you ever, and that's not biblical. It's not the truth. And so there will be difficult times. Matter of fact, Jesus kind of promised that. He's like, hey, the difficult times will come. And so I like that as this guy first calls out to Jesus, we see in this passage, there's some difficulty with that. Not everybody celebrated this blind guy calling out to Jesus. No, those who led the way, interesting that it's the leaders of the culture who rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But look what it did to this guy. They said, hey, be quiet. And instead of being quiet, that difficulty just kind of fired him up. There was just this determination. And so the Bible says he shouted out all the more. Like, in the face of difficulty, he decided to press through. We're going to accomplish something. Listen, can I talk for a second? Because we were at dinner last night and I asked Pastor Chris and Lisa, I said, how much time do I have to share? And they said, about 30 minutes or so. And I said, well, I got about 90 minutes worth of a message. And so we compromised and I'm going to go about 85 minutes today, all right? Get comfortable. Yeah, no, this is going to be good. So I said, no, that's great. 30, 35 is great. And then Lisa said this. She goes, and the first 10 minutes, of course, you're going to say a lot of nice things about us. And I said, well, of course. She did. She was kidding. All right. But let me say this. What I do love about your pastors and what I love about this church is that it's not all been easy. It's not all been butterflies and rainbows and every door opens up great and everything is provided. And no, there's been some difficulty along the way. But you know what else has been in this church all along the whole time? There's been some determination. there's been some determination that said, no, we're gonna see God do something through us. We're gonna see God do something through our church. We're gonna see God do something through our ministry and through our expression to the community. I love some determination when difficulty comes. Will you give God a quick praise real quick for just having some determination in your life? Where does that come from? Where does that pressure and that determination come from? Man, it comes from within. Like, it has to come from within. It's not going to come from without. Discouragement and difficulty, that's going to come from without. Like, let me say it this way. One of the activities that I just have never enjoyed is snorkeling. And I've been in different places around the world where people go, you got to snorkel here. And I'll snorkel there, and I dislike it as much as I dislike snorkeling the other place I tried to snorkel. My mask doesn't ever fit right, and I feel like I have to work too hard. I feel like I see the same fish no matter where I'm at in the world. I'll go to different oceans, and it's the same four fish looking at me like, you again. I'm like, I know. So I'm not a fan of snorkeling, and so people say, you should scuba dive then. And I don't think that would turn out well either, all right? Well, you should submarine. You could go down. I've read about submarine. There was a submarine accident that happened in 63, this military submarine called the Thresher off the Atlantic coast and off the coast of Maine. And this submarine goes down, and like 160-some people, civilians and military personnel, die as this submarine just crushes with the pressure of the water. And if you went down to that spot, because now they have research submarines that could go that deep, if you went down to that spot and you saw the remains of that crushed submarine under the pressure of that water depth, if you went down there, you know what else you would see? You'd see fish. You'd see like Finding Nemo. They'd just be down there chilling. It'd be the same fish I see when I'm snorkeling. You'd see them down there just in that same pressurized water that crushed that submarine, the bulkheads of that submarine crushed under the pressure, and yet those fish are down there. How does that work? Here's how it works. God created those fish that when they go down in that pressure, that inside of them there's an equal pressure that constantly goes against the pressure coming from without, and it's coming from within. Can I just remind you of something? God created you with that as well. It's called the Spirit of God in your life. And when the pressure from the outside comes in, you need to learn how to tap into God in your life. If you feel like the difficulty and the pressure is too much, can I encourage you, get some more word in your mind? Can I encourage you, get some more presence of God in your heart? Can I encourage you to get some more passion for the things of God in your life? And that pressure from within will always be equal to the pressure from without. I like how 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. To see what you want to see, this is a big one. Number four, be obedient in every opportunity. Be obedient in every opportunity. Verse 40. This is interesting. Watch this. So Jesus stops. Blind guy's called out twice. Jesus stops and goes, orders the blind man, have him come to me. We read that in the scripture. We go, yeah, whatever, no big deal. But think about it for a second. He was blind, and Jesus was Jesus, okay? And so Jesus could have walked to where the blind man was. Compassionate Jesus could have went to where the blind man was. Jesus could have done a I dream a genie and just went like this and just appeared to where the blind man was. I mean, Jesus was Jesus, and yet Jesus orders the blind man to come to him. I read this and I go, Jesus, I don't know if that was very nice. Don't even start going to, don't go to John chapter 9. Look what he did to that blind man. That blind man is blind, and Jesus spits on the ground, makes mud, puts mud on his face and says, go now, figure out a way to get to that pool over there and wash your face off. And the blind guy's going, okay. You know, and you're going, Jesus, why are you so mean to the blind guys? You might think that unless you realize maybe what's going on here is that maybe doing something God's way is what really unlocks God's will in your life. What if learning how to be obedient? What if learning how to do it the way that Jesus calls us to do it? What if we open the way to God's provision by being open to God's process in our life? Some of us, we struggle and struggle and struggle financially, but we refuse to do finances God's way. Pastor Chris gets up here and talks about, oh man, the tithe, and that unlocks God's blessing. We're like, I'll figure out God's blessing some other way. No, we want God's blessing, but we don't often want God's way, his instruction. Me and my wife, we have 5 kids, and they're all grown and all married now. But when they were younger, their bedrooms were upstairs and our bedrooms downstairs. And that was a good move. Amen. And but sometimes they would be upstairs and they would call down to me. And they would say, like, Dad. And I'd be downstairs and I'd be like, what? And then they would say, come here. And I mean, every time, almost every single time they would say, come here. I would answer the same way. I would say, no. You come here. And they'd be like, just come up here. I was like, no, just come down here. You go, why'd you do that? Because you're a bad father? Jury's still out. I prefer to say there's a more spiritual reason. Maybe I was showing them that to have audience with the Father, maybe they do things the way the Father calls them to do it. That maybe coming to him, maybe too often we sit back and we go, if God wants to do something in my life, he knows where I'm at. If God wants to get through to me, then he knows where I'm, whatever. He'll send something, he'll send somebody. Man, what if we put away with that kind of pride and arrogance and said, I will figure out a way. I may not even be able to see all the obstacles between me and Jesus, but I'm going to get over them. I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to do things his way. I'm going to him. But here's Jesus having these blind men do things that seemed difficult. And yet when they did it the way Jesus calls them to do it, it unlocks a miracle in their life. Jesus says to the blind men, come over here. And I got to be honest, like when I was praying for this service this morning, I just felt like Jesus said, I've been saying that to some of the people you're speaking to today. I've been saying, come on, come close. And that some of us have been satisfied with just being around it. We've been satisfied with just the familiarity. We've been satisfied with just, I have some interest in the things of God. I have some investment in the things of God. I have some, and what God is calling you to is a greater level of intimacy. And that level of intimacy where you truly know him, you prioritize him in a way that you truly know him, that's what unlocks God's provision and God's power in your life. Okay, last thing. I gotta be done. To see what you want to see, this seems simple, but know what you need most. Know what you need most. The reason why I say this is because I think a lot of times we get need and want mixed up all the time. And we start to say that we need the things that are just wants in our life. Man, I need a coffee. Well, you don't need a coffee. You want a coffee. Right, so we do that all the time, and you could put your desired object in there in that sentence. We say, I need that, and it's just wants. And what happens is if we talk about needing everything we want, then our real needs, we don't ever really want those. And this is interesting. I think language is important here. And so Jesus, this blind guy gets to him, and Jesus says, not what do you need? He says, what do you want me to do? This is the thing about God, is God does not respond to every need that exists. I don't want to mess up anybody's theology, but it's true. You can think about needs that are in the world right now that God's not responding to. So God does not respond to every need. But I'm going to tell you what, God usually responds to want. If I want him, he's usually going to show up in my life. And watch this. There is something extra special that happens when I want what I need most. And so he says to this guy, what do you want me to do for you? Well, can I tell you what his answer had been to every other person who asked that question? What do you want me to do? I'll tell you what his answer was. I want money. I want money. I'm a beggar. I'm blind. I can't work. Money is the answer. Money is the answer. Yesterday, money was the answer. The day before, money was the answer. A week ago, somebody said, what do you want, Mr. Blind Man? He said, I want money. And yet now Jesus stands in front of him, and instead of saying money, he finds himself tapping in to a different level of need. He finds himself tapping into a different part of his heart. And now the God of the universe stands before him and says, what do you want? and money is not at the top of the list anymore. Oh, good. God help that be the case for us. What if we got such a glimpse of Jesus that money and power and prestige and popularity, what if those things were no longer the things that we wanted most? What if we got a picture of Jesus, an awareness of him that changed all that, and we said, actually, I want to see something. Think about it. He said, I want to see. And what's the first thing? We think this blind man's born this way, blind since birth. What's the first thing that he sees? He sees the face of Jesus. An awareness of Christ's presence will always bring an adjustment to our priorities. So what we once thought was most important, sometimes Jesus shows up and goes, hey, it's time to pivot. And when Jesus shows up and suggests the pivot, it's time to pivot. When the awareness of what Christ is doing permeates our life, it will cause us to, now I want most, maybe what I need the most. And maybe it's something I didn't even realize I needed the most. Anybody ever been around and been following Jesus long enough to pray some prayers that you're thankful that God didn't answer? Right? You're praising him for prayers he didn't answer years back. Like, you're, Lord, just let me end up with that person. And then 15 years later on social media, you see what that person's up to. You're like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that he broke up with me. Like whatever your situation, right? Like, we've been around this thing long enough to know that sometimes the things we thought we wanted, we don't, man, that's not what we needed. Christ knows what you need when you need it. And so to learn to be aware of him enough to go, yeah, those other wants, they're starting to fade away. I want to see you in my life. I want to see, God, you show up in my life. I want to see you do in my life what I could never do, what no person could ever do. Lord, I want you to satisfy the longing in my heart. I've been substituting it with everything else. That's what an awareness. So know what you need, and then you'll see what you want to see. Let me end with this. My wife and I, this is a few months back, we were at the gym together, and I went to the treadmill first, and she was going to do some other stuff. So when I got on the treadmill, I was like, man, I'm not gonna just do flat like walking. I am so beyond that. And so I pumped up the incline to like 3, and I'm like, I'm doing this. I don't care. And I set my timer and I set my incline to 3, and I'm going, I'm walking at a reasonable pace. And as I'm walking on the treadmill, I'm almost done with my workout on the treadmill, and my wife comes and she goes to the treadmill next to me. And then she starts to get her stuff ready for her treadmill session. And she looks at me, she goes, I'm doing this thing. It's called like 5:15:5 or something. I don't know what she said, 15:5:15 or something. I was like, oh yeah, what's that? She goes, well, it's 15 minutes at 5 miles an hour with the incline at 15. And I didn't react in the moment. I was just like, whatever. And I'm trying to sneak my incline up so her not see it. But in my head, I'm thinking, 15 incline? That's not even safe. Do these even go to 15? Like, you should, that's not even recommended by anybody. 15 incline, 15 minutes. And so I just went off and did my own thing. But it challenged me. And the next time I got on the treadmill, I didn't go at 15, but I went to like 7 or 8. I mean, I was working my way up. It challenged me. And the reason why I share that is because today, if I could, I want to challenge you. Because some of you, your faith incline, your faith trajectory, man, you're flat. You just came in today not expecting anything from God. Some of you, maybe your faith trajectory and your faith incline is set to 3 and 4, and you're like, ah, check me out, I'm on 3 and 4. And what I'm saying, God is saying to you, is it's time to get this faith thing going. It's time to set the incline. It's time to start believing God for things again. Start praying for the things you've stopped praying for and you've stopped believing for. Start believing again. Let's not pray mediocre prayer. God, just help me to get by. No, pray that God will help you thrive. Oh, God, help my marriage just to survive. No, pray to have the kind of marriage that will be an example to other people and it will show the reality of Jesus Christ working in your life. Oh, just pray that my family fights less. No, pray that your family would be a place of peace and that the that people would sense the presence of God in your home when they come in. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, let's set our incline high again and pray and believe God for great things again. Come on, somebody give God praise. All right, so let me pray for you that this would be the case. Spirit of God, I just thank you for your presence here today. And I pray for each and every person. Lord, there are some maybe under the sound of my voice and their first step of faith today, their first punch of incline needs to be to believe you as their Savior. And I just pray, God, that today we would believe on you, that we would make you our Savior, make you our Lord. Lord, I pray for those that are going through a tough situation and the diagnosis is real and the challenge is real and the difficulty is real and we barely made it into church today. But God, I just pray that as a result of your word, Lord, that you'd give us the strength and the determination to set the faith level higher. Lord, we just increase right now our faith in you, trusting you to do what only you can do in our lives. Lord, we want what you want for our lives. And God, I pray you'd give us vision to see you working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.